Turn, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. I'd like to preach a sermon entitled, When Extravagance is Not Waste. Or we could also name it, The Great Value of More Love to Our Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, this is a topic that I have preached on probably for 30 years. Well, my wife was asked to speak at some type of ladies' meeting. And she did what she always did. She comes to me and wants me to prepare her talk. So, at any rate, I decided that she would speak on this. And I was, like I said, I've preached on this many times over the years, but as I was looking at it, I saw something I'd never seen before. It made me wonder if I'd ever really understood the portion of Scripture. So I hope tonight that it will be a blessing and that it will stir your heart. Let's read Mark 14, beginning in verse 3 through verse 9. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye may do them, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could, and she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You may ask, do you believe in fulfilled prophecy? We're fulfilling a prophecy tonight. Amen. Jesus said that wherever the gospel goes in the whole world, that what Mary of Bethany did will be mentioned as a memorial for her. Now think about that. On the other side of the world, in the little town of Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem, this family lived, and there's a meal at the home of what was probably a bachelor, Simon the leper, and Mary anoints our Lord with this ointment, and Jesus said, wherever in the world the gospel goes, this tale of what she did will be told. Now, what was the chance of that coming to pass? What if I said the ladies singing here tonight, wherever in the world the gospel is preached, that would be remembered. What would be the chance that 2,000 years from now on the other side of the world anybody would remember that? Well, of course, our Lord was God and is God. Now, we want to look at the background. This was the Passover week. And in the Passover week, the population of Jerusalem swelled many times over. And it was hard to get a place to stay. So our Lord had this family that he loved, and he came and stayed with them during the Passover week. This was also what we know as the Passion Week, the week that leading up to Christ's death. I have a Harmony of the Gospels, which has a list of Christ's teachings and works. And if you would look at that, you would be absolutely amazed at all the work our Lord did during this Passion Week. The great teaching and the memorable statements and the miracles that he did. Now, Bethany, as I say, was a small town about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Christ came to stay there during the Passover week. And every morning he would get up and go to Jerusalem. Every evening he would return. This is the time when he cursed the barren fig tree and so on. The family that he was staying with was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary was the lovely Christian woman that we read about who anointed Christ, and she was a very deep and spiritual Christian. Martha also loved the Lord, but Martha was kind of cranky. If you have really paid attention to Martha, when Mary didn't help her with the meal, she complained publicly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only complained about Mary not helping, but said, "Lord, carest thou not?" I mean, she even threw it out at the Lord. And when Jesus came after Lazarus had died, it was Martha that said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And then when Jesus said, "Push away the stone," she said, "Oh, you don't want to do that." So, like I say, she was a little cranky. Now, some Christians are. Lazarus, are you aware that he was raised from the dead and we know him because of that? But there is no record of Lazarus ever saying anything. I suspect he was afraid of Martha. But at any rate, you have this extravagant act of Mary. Now it says that the ointment could have been sold for 300 pence. A pence or a denarius was the money you received for a day's wages. And so she took this little bottle of ointment that was worth a year's wages and broke it and anointed Christ. And Judas, he started the complaint that this could have been given to the poor. I have no doubt. It's hard to say what it would have been valued at in our time. A year's wages, maybe, let's say, $40,000. What would happen if somebody in this assembly tonight took a bottle of perfume worth $40,000 and anointed me with it? That'd cause some talk, wouldn't it? And so you can see why there was discussion. In beginning, we want to, first of all, remind ourselves of the great love that Christ had to sinners. The great love of God to sinners. I think of John 3:16. Sometimes you can interpret a verse by the way you enunciate it. And I've often believed that people, when they quote John 3:16, that they give it a wrong meaning by the way they emphasize their words. For instance, they'll say this: "For God so loved the world." And they emphasize the greatness of the world. Well, that's a total missing of the doctrine of John 3:16. It should be stated like this: "For God so loved the world," the sinful, wicked world, "that He gave His only begotten Son." John 3:16 is not about the greatness of the world. It's about the greatness of the love of God.
Amen.
Now, this is a sad contrast to our feelings toward God before we're saved. It says in verse 1 of Mark 14, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and an unleavened bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." So Christ, who loves sinners so much, we have in contrast the murderous hatred that the unsaved have toward Christ. People that are unsaved do not understand the things of God. There's an old illustration about the dance. You know, in every culture you have various forms of dance. And if you were at a distance watching a dance, whether it was a square dance or ballroom dancing, whatever type of dancing it would be, if you were at a distance and you watched that and you couldn't hear the music, it would make no sense to you whatsoever. Because the music is what makes the dance to make sense. And so we could say it like this: the world, as they look at Christians, they see the dance, but they don't hear the music. They don't know what it is that causes them to go to church. When you got up and went out to come to church tonight, Some of your neighbors may have looked and said, there they go again, going to church. Don't know why they do that. Don't know what it is that enters them. Again, they see the dance, but they don't hear the music. Now, all of God's people love the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16:22, the Scripture says that those that love, that do not love the Lord are anathema. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he is anathema. In 1 Peter 2:7, the Scripture says, unto you that believe, he is precious. And in the Gospel of John, it says everyone, or the first epistle to John, it says everyone that loveth is born of God. And so, all Christians love the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the point of this sermon. There are some that love Christ more than others. Abraham loved Christ more than Lot did. Moses loved Christ more than Aaron did. The maniac loved Christ more than those that wanted to follow Christ for the fishes and the bread. And Mary loved Christ more than Martha did. You say, well, is there great value in this love? And the answer is yes. There's great value in this more love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's consider Mary's act of anointing Christ. First of all, it was not a prideful display. She was not showing off. She was not doing it to be seen. I remember reading about Cleopatra, the Queen of Egypt. Back then, the most valuable jewel was a pearl. Pearls were more valuable than anything before they learned how to culture them. And this king or fellow important person mentioned to Cleopatra that he'd given a feast, and he mentioned how much money he had spent, and he challenged her to outdo the great feast he had given. And she took her most precious pearl and dissolved it in vinegar and drank it, and she said, there. But this was not what Mary of Bethany was doing. It was not prideful display. Also, it was not an emotional outburst that Providence made timely. I used to think that Mary got excited and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the providence of God, it just so happened that he was getting ready to be crucified, and so he was anointed for his burial, but it was just the providence of God that that happened. And then her act was commended and defended and rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was held up as an act for all future generations to consider. Again, in verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And so the Lord put a great commendation on what she did. And he held it up for us 2,000 years from that time to consider. And I don't believe, I've never heard anybody really give emphasis to what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. But I think it shows us why our Lord put such an emphasis on what she did. Now let's notice the value of this greater love that is seen in Mary of Bethany. First of all, it was the love that caused her to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 10, you might want to turn there. We have a portion of Scripture that is often referred to. But I trust these things will begin to come together in your mind. Luke 10 and verse 38. It tells us, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I might say this, that Mary had such a love for Christ that when Christ was going to speak, she was going to listen. And Martha didn't have that same kind of love. I appreciate, we've had wonderful meals this week, and they haven't at all detracted from the meeting, other than me eating too much, maybe. But let me suggest this. If the Lord Jesus ever comes to visit, don't be in the kitchen cooking while he's preaching. Send out for Kentucky Fried Chicken and listen. And you're going to see Jesus, when Martha said, why don't you rebuke her? Jesus said, she's chosen the good part. And it's not going to be taken away from her. And so she had a love that listened. Because she had a love that loved God's Word and listened to God's Word, she had a love that caused her to understand what other people didn't understand. Let me show you this. I'll turn to several scriptures and read. Matthew 16:21. It said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now notice all that's in that verse. What was Jesus saying? He said that he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests. He must be killed and he must rise again the third day. That's the whole gospel. And Jesus said that. Now, how much did the apostles understand what he said? They didn't understand it at all. Peter rebukes him and says, Lord, you're not going to die, surely not. But Christ laid it all out before them. And of the 12 apostles, none of them understood it. In Matthew 26 and verse 12, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. I used to think that what that meant was that she, in a moment of passion, poured the ointment on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it just so happened that he was going to be crucified in a few days. But I looked at this, and it struck me, that's not right. She knew exactly what she was doing. You say, why did she know what she was doing? Because she was listening. And Jesus said, in just a short time, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified and buried and rise again at the third day. And Mary heard that, and she understood that, and she was the only one that did. Even when Christ was hanging on the cross, the apostles didn't understand. His mother didn't understand. As far as I know, Mary was the only person on earth that understood. She listened. And Jesus said, that good part will not be taken away from her. Well, let me go to Luke 24 and show you this in another text. Luke 24, verse 1 through 8. Here, I'm... Luke 24, verse 1 through 8. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinners and be crucified, and the third day arise. And they remembered his words. And then it talks about who these women were. in verse 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman, the other women that were with them. Now, I want you to notice that if you collate and take all the records that we have, Mary of Bethany was not there. Now, she had a great love for Christ, and it wasn't her love that caused her not to be there. All the women were going to anoint the body of Jesus after he was buried. Why was Mary not there? Because she was the only one listening. And she knew he wasn't in the grave. She was the only one that understood that. And so, it was a love that understood. It was a love that was refreshing to Christ. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thy anointments than all spices." There the bridegroom speaks of the love and the refreshment of that love toward him from the bride. And I think of this. We all as human beings crave empathy. We crave understanding. And we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to give His life, suffer our hell, carry our sins in His own body on the tree. And yet, no one understood. Peter saying, "No, you're not going to die." And Christ says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And Mary, a sword is going through her own heart as she watches her son die, but she doesn't understand. After a lifetime of being with the Savior. And these other women that were followers of Christ, they didn't get it. But Mary understood. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he looked down and the only person he saw that understood what was happening was Mary of Bethany. And can't you believe that that was a refreshment to him? You know, when you have an illness or a tragedy in your life, you want someone that understands. And there's a great comfort in the touch and in the support of someone that knows what you're going through. And our Lord found that in Mary of Bethany. It was a love that saw opportunity. In Luke 23, beginning in verse 55, it says, "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and they rested the Sabbath day according to his commandment." And then you have the portion of scripture that I just read, explaining about them going to the grave and the body not being there. Now, why was our Lord anointed by Mary of Bethany? Because she listened, and she understood, and she knew that Christ, in just a few days, would be crucified, and she saw an opportunity to do something for the Lord. And that was to anoint his body for the burial. Mary of Bethany was the only woman that had the privilege of anointing the body of Christ. You say, why did she have that privilege? Because she listened. You know, I sometimes say, salvation will make you a Christian. Studying the Bible will make you a Baptist. Well, here's the point of what I'm saying. We greatly miss opportunities to serve God because we don't listen. And because we don't pay attention. And it was Mary's desire to hear the Savior that caused her to be in a position to be the only woman who had the privilege of anointing Christ. Now, another thing we can say is that this greater love that Mary had was a love that provoked zeal in others. How many people in the last 2,000 years have had their hearts stirred by the account that we've read and preached on at this time? In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2, Paul said to the Corinthian church, "Your love, your zeal has provoked many. Let me tell you a little story, and I trust that this doesn't come across as pride, but just given as an illustration. When I was in my 20s, I went to Louisiana as a home missionary and started a church there in the river parishes. I was very poor, as many preachers are. You sometimes hear people talk about, you know, preachers preaching for money. Well, the ones I know don't preach for money. I can tell you that. But I was very poor. And my kids, they used to say, "Will you take us to Dolly Donuts?" And we'd say, "We don't have the money." They'd say, "You've got checks." They didn't know you had to have something in the bank to make the check any good. But we were poor. But there was a church in Kansas City that was very thoughtful of missionaries and pastors. And every year they would send us money, like $140. That seemed like a lot of money back then. And with that money, we would go home to see our parents for the holidays. And they would send other orphans when there were special needs. And I appreciated that so much. And I said to myself, if I ever get a chance to do that for other people, I'm going to do that. Well, when I became pastor of First Baptist Church of Independence, I hadn't been there long, and I told the church, I said, we're going to have a meeting every year the week before Thanksgiving. And on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're going to take a mission offering that's going to be for the special needs of preachers and missionaries. And through the years, we did a lot. We bought land, bought vehicles, other things. One preacher's wife had damaged teeth, and we gave her money for her teeth to be repaired. And just a lot of different things that we were able to do. The first year, we took that offering, and it was $2,500. It went up every year for 22 years. The last time we took that offering, right before I resigned, it was $70,000, approximately. Now, what caused that to all take place? My being provoked by those folks in Kansas City. And I thought, if I ever get the chance to do what they've done, I'm going to do it. And so that love of Mary's provoked zeal in others. It was a love also that was rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you wish you could have been there around the cross? That you could have said to the Savior, I appreciate what you're doing. But Mary was the only one that knew to do that. And you say, what was her reward? Well, Jesus said, wheresoever this gospel should be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And then something else we should say. This greater love of Mary's was a love that caused her to be associated with Christ. Now, if I were to ask the ladies here tonight, what makes a perfume expensive? Well, of course, you know what it is. It's the fact that it maintains that odor all day. In John chapter 12, in verse 3, at this feast that was given, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, think of this. Christ is anointed with this expensive burial perfume, so to speak, ointment. And the entire Passion Week, the entire Passover Week, if Christ walked behind you, you knew he was there. Because this stuff, $40,000 for a bottle, this is the real thing. But there was somebody else that smelled like Christ. It was Mary of Bethany, because she took her hair and wiped his feet. And if Mary walked behind you, you thought it was Christ. You know, it's funny that as we view Christ, we begin to manifest His presence in our life. Moses was up on the mount with God, and when he came down, his face shone. And so we spend time with God. We love the Lord, and it cannot be hid. It's manifest. Well, one day we'll walk on streets of gold. One day we'll live in a mansion. One day we'll have a new and glorified body. But how much more important it is that we show our love to Christ now. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. One day in glory, there'll never be an empty seat in the church. One day in glory, we'll praise Him forever and speak of His greatness. But the great thing is to be able to do it now. Lord bless you.
Amen.